Welcome to the deep dive. We are really thrilled to have you with us today. I want you to imagine a scenario for a second. Think about, the sleek, pristine, cloud-based software you use every single day to manage your workflows.
Right, the stuff that just works invisibly.
Exactly. It's weightless, it's instantaneous, and it operates in this perfectly controlled digital vacuum. But now, what happens when that that weightless digital logic needs to actually cross over and talk to the dirty, heavy, real-world machinery that literally keeps human civilization running?
It's a huge leap.
It is. We are talking about, say, a dusty solar microgrid out in the remote desert or a rugged electric truck barreling down a highway in the freezing rain. How do those two completely different worlds actually shake hands?
It is the ultimate collision of the digital and the physical. And frankly, from an engineering standpoint, it is a notoriously difficult bridge to build. I mean, software expects absolute obedience, right?
Yeah.
But physical hardware has mass. It has inertia. It deals with environmental wear and tear.
And that friction between those two realities is exactly what we are looking at today. We've got a really fascinating stack of sources to go through with you. We are analyzing some public marketing copies, specifically a WooCommerce product page, paired with some highly confidential internal documents.
The SOT.
Right, the single source of truth document. We also got our hands on the internal visual aesthetic prompts used for marketing this product. And the product we're talking about is called the Industrial Foreman, specifically the Grid and Logistics Edition.
It's quite a title.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to unpack exactly how this technology serves as a physical bridge between abstract digital logic and heavy industrial infrastructure. So, okay, let's unpack this. Before we get into the heavy technical specs, can you walk us through the visual world we are dealing with here? What does the Industrial Foreman actually look and feel like based on these internal prompts?
Yeah, so looking at the hero image prompts designed for this, we immediately see a massive departure from that typical pristine white-walled aesthetic we usually associate with modern tech.
No Apple Store vibes here.
Not at all. The design language is explicitly defined in the documents as field-hardened tech. So picture high-contrast lighting, dust motes floating in the air, brushed metal enclosures.
Lots of hazard orange accents too, right?
Exactly. Hazard orange and these glowing data overlays. One of the installation shots actually sets a very specific scene.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a technician wearing heavy black mechanics gloves, and they're using a screwdriver to wire this sleek matte black computational node directly onto a weathered wooden barn wall.
Right next to old rusted electrical boxes.
Yes. And that jarring contrast is entirely intentional. It communicates that this is all about retrofitting advanced low-latency tech onto legacy weathered infrastructure.
Which really grounds the entire concept for me. The Foreman is clearly not meant for a climate-controlled server room. Functionally, the documentation describes it as a specialized open-claw agent built specifically for operators out in the field. We're talking farmers, energy managers, logistics fleet owners.
And it's accessible.
Yeah, for a perpetual commercial license, it costs $299. But what really stands out to me is that this $299 price tag doesn't just get you a software download or some cloud API key. It actually includes physical hardware.
Which is a critical architectural choice. The internal SOT document actually spends a lot of time justifying that. Standard AI agents, the kind you might query on your phone or laptop, they run their inference engines entirely in the cloud.
Right, somewhere in a massive data center.
Exactly. But the Industrial Foreman operates entirely on the edge. It runs locally on a piece of ruggedized hardware. They call it either a Sovereign Sentry Standard node or a Nomad Fleet Kit.
Because it's out in the field.
Right, and potentially running off very limited solar power reserves itself.
Right.
So the compute overhead has to be aggressively optimized. The SSOT notes that the entire OpenClaw agent consumes less than 5% of the CPU on a low-power N100 chip.
Less than 5%. Wow.
It is remarkably lightweight, but it is handling very significant industrial workloads.
I was actually looking at the hardware specs for the adapter cable, and it looks incredibly analog for a modern software product. How does a piece of software actually reach out and physically control these legacy machines?
That is the physical bridge the SSOT document highlights. The smartest software logic in the world is utterly useless if it cannot interface with the machine it is supposed to control.
Right.
To solve this bottleneck, the Foreman ships with a rugged, shielded, 6-foot USB to RS-485 serial adapter cable.
That's a mouthful.
It is. The USB end plugs into the compute node, and the other end terminates in exposed 2-wire terminal blocks. So you've got data positive, data negative, and ground.
And the user literally strips the copper wires and screws them directly into the block.
Yes. That physical connection is what allows the Sentry node to plug into the data ports of heavy-duty programmable logic controllers, PLCs, and industrial solar inverters from legacy brands.
Brands like Victron, Growatt, SMA. For those of you listening, this is a major conceptual shift. We are not talking about code that just generates text or renders an image on a screen.
Not at all.
This is software acting as a physical hand. It turns wrenches, it flips physical relays, and it alters the state of the real world.
And to do that, it has to be completely fluent in the language of heavy industry. It takes raw, legacy data protocols, things like Modbus RTU, CAN bus, and NMEA 0183.
The really old school stuff.
Exactly. And it translates them into clean, standardized JSON payloads. By converting those arcane hardware registers into JSON, the underlying logic engine can actually parse and act on the data just as easily as it would a modern REST API.
Which fundamentally changes how operators can manage their resources. And nowhere is that clearer than in what the product calls Mode A.
The grid balancer.
Yes, the grid balancer. The documentation positions this as the solution to a massive inefficiency in independent energy generation. They call it the island mode problem.
The product copy actually frames it with a very blunt maxim. Energy wasted is money burned. When we look at a remote farm, or perhaps a medical clinic operating entirely off-grid in an islanded microgrid setup, they face this really unique problem. During peak noon hours, their solar arrays are generating absolute maximum yield.
Right, the sun is just beating down.
But once their local battery bank hits 100% capacity, the solar inverter has to protect the system by clipping production. It literally curtails the incoming voltage.
So the operator has all this harvestable solar energy readily available, but it's entirely lost because they have nowhere to put it.
Exactly. The local infrastructure has no capacity to store or utilize it.
And that's where Mode A steps in. The grid balancer mode addresses this by acting as a hyper-vigilant, low-latency energy manager. The Foreman agent continuously monitors two completely distinct data streams.
Right, the internal and external.
Exactly. The internal battery's state of charge, or SOCI, and the external environmental reality. It pulls cloud cover forecasts directly from the Open Weather Map API.
That synthesis of internal hardware telemetry and external API forecasting is where the edge compute advantage really shines. If you were relying on a cloud server to make these decisions, you introduce latency and you require constant internet uptime.
Which you might not have on a remote farm.
Precisely. By processing it locally, the Foreman can execute logic flows instantly.
Let's actually walk through one of the specific logic flows outlined in the sources. So assume your battery bank is sitting at 98%. Solar input from the panels is at peak yield, and the API forecast confirms the sky will remain clear for the next 4 hours.
The agent sees all that.
Right. The Foreman agent processes this convergence of data and immediately triggers a smart plug or a heavy-duty relay to divert that excess power into a secondary load.
And the choice of secondary loads is where the operator really dictates the value. Instead of just letting the inverter clip the production, the energy is diverted into a different physical medium.
The smart farm use case illustrates this perfectly. Say an operator needs to irrigate crops. Running pumps during the heat of the day results in massive evaporation losses, which is terrible.
A huge waste of water.
Right. So the Foreman agent checks a local soil moisture sensor that's communicating via a LoRaWAN mesh beacon. If the soil moisture registers below 30%, the agent actually holds the action. It waits until nighttime when local humidity rises above 60%.
That's brilliant.
Only then does it trigger the pump relay. And once it's finished, it automatically logs a report. It just says, irrigation cycle complete, 500 gallons dispensed. It manages the entire resource cycle autonomously based purely on environmental triggers.
Which brings up a really fascinating economic question.
Yeah.
If the operator doesn't need to pump water or, say, heat a physical thermal mass, how else can that stranded energy be captured and monetized?
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The sources outline a configuration called the dump load miner.
Yes.
If an operator has free solar power peaking at noon and their physical storage is totally full, the agent can wake up a background cryptographic mining process on a specialized device called the Sentry Pro.
It's just sitting there waiting.
Exactly. It takes that stranded noontime sunlight and converts it directly into a digital currency known as Locutus credits. It is the absolute ultimate maximization of asset utilization. You are converting excess physical energy into a digital financial asset.
It is a brilliant arbitrage of stranded power. But the industrial foreman isn't just constrained to stationary microgrids. The documents actually detail an entirely different operational environment.
Mode B.
Mode B.
This shifts our focus completely from stationary solar arrays to moving vehicles. Mode B is branded as the supply chain diplomat. It is designed to run exclusively on the Nomad Fleet Kit. Operators install this directly inside transport trucks to act as an automated logistics coordinator.
The core mechanism for the supply chain diplomat relies on dynamic geofence logic. The edge agent continuously monitors a GPS data stream directly from the Nomad Link hardware.
I love the visual prompt they use for this.
It's so cinematic.
It really is. The prompt sets the scene where you are looking through the windshield from the driver's seat of a rugged electric truck. They call it a curb car. And you're driving at dusk through heavy rain. On the dashboard, there is this ruggedized tablet displaying a GPS map bisected by a red geofence line. And up ahead in the distance, you can see the lights of an international border crossing.
And the moment that electric truck crosses a 5-kilometer perimeter around that border crossing, or even just the designated shipping depot, the foreman agent executes a complex action sequence.
And the driver doesn't even touch a screen.
Not at all. It queries a local encrypted database, compiles a comprehensive load manifest of the cargo, generates a standardized PDF customs declaration, cryptographically signs that document, using the driver's unique sovereign key, and transmits it directly to the customs broker over an LTE connection.
The application of that sovereign key is so vital here. By cryptographically signing the manifest at the edge, the receiving broker gets trustless verification of the cargo's origin and integrity.
And the operational result of executing this sequence at the 5-kilometer mark is profound. Zero wait time.
None.
The bureaucratic paperwork is transmitted, verified, and processed before the physical truck even arrives at the gate. It completely eliminates the administrative bottleneck.
It also handles active, high-stakes monitoring. There is a cold chain scenario detailed in the marketing copy that really highlights the risk mitigation aspects. Imagine a logistics company transporting a truck full of Wagyu beef.
That is a highly sensitive, massively expensive physical asset.
Exactly. The refrigeration unit has to maintain a temperature below -4°C. The Nomad Link sensors monitor this environment continuously. If the telemetry shows the temperature rising to, say, -2°, the agent doesn't just quietly log the data.
No, it acts.
It immediately blasts out a high-priority WhatsApp alert to both the driver in the cab and the dispatcher back at headquarters. The message just reads, "Critical. Fridge temp rising. Check compressor."
It shifts the software from being just a passive logging tool to an active participant in disaster prevention. A timely alert in a cold chain scenario can literally save tens of thousands of dollars in spoiled cargo.
Absolutely.
But to understand how a complex system capable of managing international customs and critical refrigeration is actually delivered to an end user, we have to look at the fulfillment architecture outlined in the SSOT document.
The fulfillment model is actually a highly unusual hybrid workflow. When a customer purchases the license on WooCommerce, they receive an instant digital delivery alongside a physical package.
They get both simultaneously.
Right. On the digital side, an automated system generates a cryptographic license key. This key unlocks access to the Docker container, the OpenClaw base agent, and the necessary API endpoints. But simultaneously, at a physical fulfillment center, a worker pulls the industrial RS-485 adapter cable and a heavy-duty laminated quick start card, seals them in a Dereticular-branded anti-static bag, and ships the hardware via ground transport.
And the installation process relies heavily on auto-discovery to reduce the friction of deployment. Because these are field workers, not IT guys.
Right, exactly.
Once the user wires the hardware up, the software scans the local directory, specifically /dev/dairy USB0. It detects the specific signature of the connected machinery, recognizes it as, say, a Victron MultiPlus inverter, and automatically pulls the correct protocol driver.
I want to pivot a bit to how the operator actually interacts with the logic once it's all installed, because the back end completely avoids walls of complex syntax. It utilizes a low-code environment combining Node-RED and Python.
It's very visual.
Extremely. The visual prompts illustrate this as glowing 3D boxes floating in a dark workspace. You have one box labeled solar input connected by a pulsing wire to a diamond decision node asking IF greater than 5,000 watts.
Which then routes to an action box.
Exactly. Commanding trigger relay. It allows field operators to visually construct and modify complex logic flows without needing a background in software engineering.
But giving field operators the ability to easily command software, to physically flip heavy industrial relays, introduces an entirely new category of operational hazard. And that brings us to the most revealing section of the internal SSOT documents.
The risk register.
The risk register.
The confidential risk register outlines exactly what can go wrong when high-speed digital logic controls high-voltage hardware. The first major risk they flag is fundamental human error at the installation phase. Wiring errors.
Yeah, if a customer accidentally swaps the data positive and data negative wires on the terminal block, the resulting communication failure could completely paralyze the system.
But the mitigation strategy is twofold. The physical adapter features built-in short circuit protection, and the software actually includes a diagnostic polarity check tool to warn the user of the reversal before initialization.
They also anticipate systemic risks stemming from the hardware manufacturers themselves.
Which is inevitable.
Right. If an inverter company pushes a firmware update that alters their data structure, effectively breaking the legacy Modbus register map, the Forman agent would be completely blind to the hardware state.
To prevent this, the developers maintain a centralized library of register maps that receives mandatory quarterly updates, ensuring the translation layer remains totally accurate.
What's fascinating here is the third risk they identify. It is an issue unique to bridging digital speed with physical mass. They call it the infinite loop.
In a purely digital environment, an infinite logic loop might just crash a browser tab, right? Or maybe max out a CPU until the process is killed. But what happens when that loop is tied to the physical bridge?
It gets dangerous.
Very. If a logic error commands a heavy-duty relay to turn on and then immediately commands it to turn off, repeating that cycle multiple times a second, the physical hardware just cannot handle it. Rapidly toggling an industrial contactor will physically destroy the equipment.
It could potentially lead to a catastrophic failure or an electrical fire.
The architectural challenge is how to mitigate that physical destruction without compromising the low latency advantages of the edge compute node. And their solution is a mandatory hysteresis delay.
So what does this all mean for the logic engine? How does a hysteresis delay actually function in practice?
Well, it acts as a hard-coded safety dampener injected deep into the base code. It mandates a minimum 5-minute waiting period between any physical state changes.
Regardless of the data.
Right. Regardless of how rapidly the environmental variables change or what the logic engine demands, the Forman agent is physically locked out from flipping that specific relay again until the 5-minute timer expires.
It is an artificial throttle, designed specifically to protect physical hardware from the raw speed of digital processing.
It is a profound engineering compromise. And looking at this entire source stack, the overarching mission of the industrial foreman becomes incredibly clear. We are witnessing a fundamental paradigm shift in how infrastructure is managed. Software is no longer safely confined behind glass screens or abstract cloud servers.
It's out in the dust.
It is out in the dust. It is managing independent microgrids in the desert. It is clearing vehicles at international borders using cryptography. It is actively monitoring the cold chain for high-value cargo, and it is ensuring that every single watt of harvested solar energy is utilized. It provides the people running our heavy infrastructure with the tools to achieve total automated self-sufficiency.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that concept of total self-sufficiency raises a massive macroeconomic and geopolitical question. Historically, large-scale infrastructure energy grids, logistics networks, agricultural water management has relied on massive centralization.
Central authorities, centralized power plants.
Vast bureaucratic oversight. But as edge agents like the Forman become more capable, allowing individual farms, isolated clinics, and independent fleets to operate as fully sovereign, optimized islands, we have to ask what happens to the centralized systems.
That's a great point.
If the edge of the network no longer relies on the center to function, verify, or optimize itself, we may be looking at the quiet, automated decentralization of foundational human infrastructure. And going back to that hysteresis delay we just talked about, as we hand over the keys of our physical infrastructure to lightning-fast, autonomous edge agents, perhaps the most vital and life-saving lines of code we will ever write aren't the commands that tell machines how to act.
But the artificial delays that force them to pause and wait.
Exactly.
That is a staggering implication to consider the next time you see a solar array or a logistics truck operating out in the wild. The true revolution might just be happening right at the edge. Thank you for joining us on this custom deep dive. We hope it provided some serious insight into the collision of the digital and physical worlds. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep learning. We will catch you on the next one.